Proverbs 24, verse number 16 says, "For a just man falls seven times and rises up, but a wicked man falls into mischief." This will make more sense as we get into the study, but what I wanted to do is tell you a little story about our missionaries as they're headed to Joplin. Pete was adamant about wanting to leave at 4:30 in the morning because they wanted to get as much time in daylight as they possibly could to move on to Joplin. Well, circumstances, as they always are, get in the way, and they weren't able to leave until 5 o'clock. Now, that was okay with Pete because he felt the peace that this was God's plan. So they went to Yuma. They went over the mountain there, and they came down into the Suburban Valley there, and they could see way down the freeway, because there's a lot of freeway at that point, that there was smoke coming up. They didn't have any idea what it was. And as they got closer, they found out that a lady had rolled her car and set it on fire, and she was thrown free. Pete is positive that if they had left on time, somebody in their train would have been involved with that. So God knows exactly what he's doing. I want to encourage you to pray for them. I got a call last night that they were behind time, and then Peter called me this morning. My name is Kerry Fristrup. I'm in charge of the prayer chain, and it's been going around. I thought I had lost every email address that I had recorded on our prayer chain on hotmail.com, and it's reappeared. I don't know what that is, but anyway, it's going to triple when I get all of the names and email addresses on there. And what happens is I usually get a call, or my Sandy gets a call, and I post it as soon as I can. And then it goes out to you, and so you know right away. We haven't called for a while. I've done it all through the email. And I had somebody just sign up here a week ago, called and said they wanted to be a part of it. And they said, "Do you send out text alerts?" I said, "What? I don't know how to text." So I mentioned it to Pete. I mean, everybody's doing it. In fact, I tried to talk to Pastor Pete this morning before anybody else, and Hector had already texted him. So Hector already knew what I was going to find out. But anyway, that's where we're at. If you have prayer, you know, you write it down there. If you need prayer and you're not at church, call the prayer chain. We'll definitely get it on there. And please, if you didn't sign up for the prayer chain, I want to encourage you to do that. I'd like to have a long list to lose, and not really, but to get the message out to you. The more that prays, more that are blessed, and God doesn't have to, but he will hear our prayer and answer it. I wanted to just give you a little bit of background. I'm the white-haired guy that sits back here who's the father of the little blonde that sings up here, and so I'm very proud of her. And God showed me when she was in high school that it was going to be music that would draw her back to the Lord, and he's been so faithful to that. I work at IBC as a counselor. That was my start, and then I moved over to financial aid, and then they asked me to teach some classes, so I've been teaching classes. I get a great chance to interject the conservative side of psychology to my students. I will be here shortly moving over back to counseling, but I do have good experience in financial aid, so if anybody, and you should, if you can, need to go back to school, I would encourage you to come and see me. I'll help you with financial aid, and I'll also encourage you with direction as far as your academics are concerned. I don't know what the oldest item in this building is. I don't know what we brought over from Main Street, but I've been around Calvary Chapel longer, Calvary Chapel El Centro, longer than anything that we have here. With the exception of Pete and Marcy, Sandy and I moved to Imperial Valley 1 year after Calvary was started. And I can still remember the first day we went into the Masonic Labor Temple. We had a little baby that was weeks old. Steffi was two. Steffi was fine. Let's go play. I'll be good. But the baby wasn't cool with it. and we ended up leaving. And I can remember Marcy coming down the stairs and coming out to check on us because it was our first time there. The kids just couldn't handle it. We've been here ever since. They tried to chase us away, but they couldn't do it. Okay, chapter 24, verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." I want you now to turn back to Psalms 51, and that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at Psalms 51, and then we're going to look at Ephesians 6. Hopefully, I'll be able to tie that all together. I thought it was very interesting that as John was leading his worship, he prayed that we would acknowledge our sin. And he prayed for us. And by the way, I just looked back in the left corner and I saw Kirk with a new haircut. And I thought about something else that I did last night that I want to apologize for. When I looked on the Facebook, I saw that we had a message and he was letting us know about Jim Tucker, who is responsible for my youngest daughter walking with the Lord. And so when we were here yesterday cleaning up after VBS, somebody mentioned that Kirk had overslept. But he explained it properly that the Lord had told him that he needed to be here to watch over the flock while everybody was away. And so I wanted to apologize to him in front of everybody that I like to tease, and I was teasing him only, not trying to take anything away from God speaking to him, which is the right thing. All right, let's take a look at Psalm 51. We know that Psalm 51 is a psalm of David. It's a song of David. In fact, if you look at some of the verses there, we sing some of those verses. And I strongly encourage you to memorize the psalms. And when things are going good, sing them. And when things are okay, sing them. When things aren't going so good, sing them. Because they are from experience, and that was David's experience. Now, you all know David, and there's a specific reason for us looking at this. David had a faux pas, and it cost the children of Israel big time. But David is a marvelous character. I love him. I wish I could have known him as Jonathan knew him. He was a man, a young boy. As a young boy, he was asked to... Goliath is trying to make fools of us. The Philistines were mocking the army of Israel. And they wanted somebody to go out there. Actually, Goliath wanted somebody to go out there and deal with him. And so David says, "I'm not afraid of this big galoot. I can deal with him." So David went and he got five small, smooth rocks to go in his sling. And then he walked up in front of Goliath. He put one in his sling, and he spun it around, and he let it go, and it sunk deep into his forehead. And Goliath fell head down, and then all he had to do was go over and get Goliath's sword, which was probably bigger than him, and separate his head from his body. And God gave him a victory at that time. You guys ever think about those other four rocks that he got? Why he got five? Why would he pick up five when he only needed one? Did you realize that Goliath had four brothers? He was planning for the four brothers after he took out Goliath. David's wonderful. David was short in stature, but he was remarkable. He was very athletic. He was very, very strong and agile. That is, he was like a wild gazelle. His arms were strong enough to break a steel bow. We know about his remarkable accomplishments as a warrior. And he was asked by Saul to come and play for him. Saul was having trouble with his demons, and the music coming from David was of soothing nature. And so he would ask David to come. Not only was David a warrior, but he was a genius with music and poetry. While David was shepherding, he learned to fight a lion and fight a tiger. And that's what gave him confidence, that the God had taken him and let him win the battle over his sheep. So what's one big giant? So he was able to do it. So we find ourselves now in chapter 51. And this is right after David is supposed to be at war with his troops. Instead, he's up on his castle. He's on top, but he's looking out across Jerusalem, and he sees Bathsheba. I don't know the details, and I don't know why she would be bathing up on top of a roof, but she was. And it was enough to cause him to have her called to the castle or to his home. And she was familiar with the home because they were family friends. Well, you know the story. She came, she spent the night, she got pregnant. She told David that she was pregnant. And David decided that he, as the king, was going to solve this problem. So he brought Uriah back from the front line and brought him in and had him meal with him and a few drinks. And he sent him to his home, hoping that he would get David off the hook. And he couldn't do it. Uriah felt that my men are fighting. I can't be taking pleasures at home. So David tried another night, and again, David wasn't successful, so David set up another plan. Now, I'm going to send Uriah back, but I'm going to send a letter. He's going to carry his own death sentence. As David wrote that letter and sent it out with Uriah, Uriah went back. Uriah was sent to the front lines on David's command, and he was killed there. So now David, what he thought, he could now bring Bathsheba into the house, and he could acknowledge that the baby that she was with was going to be his. Okay, and so David thinks he's out of the woods until Nathan the prophet comes up and speaks to him and says, David, what would you do if a rich man who had plenty of sheep went to a poor man and stole his sheep and brought that sheep and took it and he was going to use it? David said, I would be outraged. I would be outraged at that rich man. And then Nathan said to him, David, that's you. And now let us take a look at Psalms 51, verse 1. This is David speaking after the fact. He's been burnt. He's been told what he did. And now we're going to see what kind of response he has to his sin. From David, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not that Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and the burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. If you are studying God's Word, and especially in the, well, it doesn't matter old or new, but if you're in the old, sometimes you don't quite understand what they are trying to say. If you will step back and think about it and put Jesus right in the middle of the area that you are having difficulty with, eventually, very shortly, that will all come to your understanding. David's first comment was to have mercy, O God, according to thy loving kindness. How often have we sinned, and once we realize that, have gone before the Lord and asked for his mercy, as mercy is given us not what we deserve, because as Pastor Pete has often said, his mercy keeps us out of hell, because he was willing to give us his only begotten son. He was willing to donate his son so that we might have eternal life. That's the reason why we receive mercy. And it is according to his loving kindness. David wanted him to give it to us in a multitude of his tender mercies. He wanted that multiplied, as we too would like God to multiply his mercies and blot out all our transgressions. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. That's the reason why we started out with the Proverbs, because it says a righteous man falls 6 times. We are going to stumble. We have this body of flesh, and we can't always win, but God has made a provision for that. So my encouragement is that when you do stumble, be quick to acknowledge your sin and get back into fellowship with him. David wants God to wash him thoroughly from his iniquity and cleanse him from his sin. I thought that was interesting. That was one of those things that, you know, why would he say, wash me and then cleanse me? My wife spilled something on one of our shirts, and she's got this magic formula that she paid an outrageous amount of money for. And she sprays that stuff on there, and she gets out the scrub brush, and it turns white again. Okay, but why would we have to wash it and then cleanse it? Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross that men came back, the centurions came back to make sure that he was, in fact, dead, and they broke the legs of the two on each side, and instead of breaking the leg, what did they do to Jesus? He took a spear and he put it in his side. What came out? Water and blood. This is the inference here. It's an inference back to Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to be cleaned with water, but more than that, we want that blood to wash us clean. In verse 3, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight. I think we all need, and we all have, come to the point where we realize that that's where we're at. That it's him, Jesus, who we have sinned against. And it's he only that has been given us a way to get past that mistake. We want to be justified when he speaks and be clear when you judge. God is going to judge us. We have two choices. We can die once after we have been rebirthed twice. We have our birth, we have our rebirth in Christ, and then we're going to die once. Much better than being born once, die, and have to die the second time. Much better situation. 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. It wasn't sinful when he was conceived. It was a fact that because of Adam's fall, that he was born in sin. And that's what we, too, have to deal with. That sin that was created by Adam. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with a hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter in snow. I like to read the Psalms. I read 5 Psalms every day. And when Pete asked if I could step in, that was the first thing that came to mind. And when I read Psalms and I find verses that minister to me, I'll mark them up somehow. My wife has a totally different way of marking her Bible up. I could never read the notes that she has in there. Now she's doing a study by K. Arthur, and she's got all sorts of signals that she puts on it just to remind her as she reads the word what these things mean. But the hyssop, have you ever heard the term hyssop before? It happens a couple of times in the Bible. It's a plant that grows in Israel, in Jerusalem, and it's kind of like a plant that climbs a wall, but it does have a very, very strong center, and you can break it off and use it as a board of education. Or in the case of Jesus, they put a sponge with vinegar on it, and it was on a hyssop that they lifted up to have Jesus take a sip of. And then I've always been fascinated with colors, how God can take my sin, which is black, and use a red, bloodish color to turn me perfectly white. White as snow. That in itself is a miracle. Then he asked, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. I think when we stumble and fall and we carry that sin around, we're very uncomfortable. I'm sure that David, when he found out that everybody knew what was up, what was happening at the palace, that he was busted too. But once we confess our sins and we get that burden off of our shoulders, then it goes back to the Lord. And now we can feel joy again because we're relieved of that burden that we have. And David, make me to hear joy and gladness. And we know that David is very enthusiastic when he is praising the Lord. We know how he danced in front of the cart as he brought the cart with the, I've lost that one. But when he brings back the mercy seat with the, there you go, okay. And he brings that back. David is dancing with all his might. And that's David showing the joy and gladness. Verse 9, he asked the Lord not to hide thy face from my sins and blot out, no, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And then in verse 10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now we sing that. So here's one of the choruses that we do sing, that we want God to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And that's what our confession does. That gives us communication and a relationship once again with Jesus and God our Father. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He desires to have that intimate fellowship with the Lord. And he knows that in making these requests, I don't want to be cast away. Pull me back in, restore the joy, and have our sweet fellowship that gives me strength to go from day to day. And then his response after God takes care of his sin and removes it as far as the east is from the west, then David makes a commitment. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know, all of us have a testimony. All of us have been backsliders. All of us have walked away from the Lord. But now you have demonstrated that you are here to worship the Lord. Well, how did that happen? One of the fascinating things that I enjoy is hearing testimonies of others. I love reading testimonies, to see how they came back. And I want to tell you, knowing a lot of the people that we have here, that there are some phenomenal testimonies, some people who have been through unbelievable things, from being addicted to heroin to one day stopping turning his back totally on that and walking free of that habit. We've got it all here. So if you've got some problem in your life that you feel is it's too much to bear, you don't have to, because we have somebody fellowshipping at Calvary that can love you and say, I understand because I've been there. So don't be discouraged if you feel that way. Verse 14 says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. As God blesses, we can't help but want to sing about it. We can't help to want to tell somebody about it. It's just a natural byproduct of being in that relationship with Jesus Christ. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. When we get to that point, there was a point in my walk with the Lord where I felt that he was doing me wrong. I felt that what was happening was not what should be happening to him. You presented me with what I was looking for, and why would you take that precious thing from me? I was sitting in a UPS truck, and I was driving up the Moore Park Freeway, going over to Simi Valley to unload some packages, and I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. Either you are going to be the God of everything, or you're going to be the God of nothing. And I praise him that he put his arms around me, and he gave me my joy back, and he gave me the confidence to know that no matter what situation we're in, we can trust the Lord to get us through that situation. And a side note to that, that which I lost in Thousand Oaks, just a few months, I don't remember exactly how many months, I transferred from Westlake UPS to Anaheim UPS and found Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And right down the street from Calvary Costa Mesa, there was a bookstore, and it was the stepping stone for Big Calvary. They had gone from a church on a hill to this little location, and then from that location, they went to a large 20-acre lot, and while they were building the chapel, they threw up a tent. And for the whole time of the construction, they were having service in the tent. Well, the old Calvary Chapel was where this bookstore was, and it was in Costa Mesa, or Santa Ana, I think is very close there. And it was terrific for me to work, finish at 5, get something to eat, then I'd head to the bookstore, and sometimes I'd buy something, sometimes I wouldn't. Well, I was intrigued by a young lady that was in there. She had blonde hair and very attractive, and I needed to buy a book for a friend who was struggling in his marriage, and I said, do you have such and such a book? And she was behind the register, and she said, well, somebody was supposed to pick one up, and they didn't pick it up. I'm just going to go ahead and sell it to you. Uh-oh. She's going to do something for me. I'm going to find out who this lady was, and she's my wife, Sandy. So, yeah, that's worth clapping about. I'm very pleased. I'm blessed. 36? Did we decide it was 36? Going to be 37? You know, the guy never knows, but out at IBC, I get a chance to ask the guys when they come in, especially the older guys, you know, when what their date was to be married. And it's surprising how many wives don't remember what there was. I thought you know, the guys were the ones that don't remember. No, I remember it was sometime in April, wasn't it, dear? About the 19th. All right, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked a little bit here. The broken and contrite heart. That's how I got off. I'm sorry. But I was busted. I was beside myself. I can remember going back to my room. I lived with a bunch of guys that were going to Cal Lutheran University. Great time in my life. And sitting in my room, busted. And God took me to a verse in in Corinthians, and I don't remember exactly where it is. I know it's down toward the bottom, that said, things that happen now are just temporal. They aren't as important as the things that will happen later, which are eternal. And that was the lift, that was a boost, that was the encouragement that got me over my broken and contrite heart. Verse 18 says, do you do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion? Build those walls of Jerusalem. So now David has gotten away from his problems with his act of sin. He's felt that God has removed that sin, that guilt from him. And now he wants to point to the Lord to work on Jerusalem. Isn't that how we work it? Sometimes we need to be taken care of, and then we want the Lord to take that joy that he's given us and have that begin to be worked at home. And then after home, we want it to be done at work. And then we want to find ways to go to Joplin, Missouri, so that we can do it there. I think God tells us that that's the way it should be done. Verse 19, then shall thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and the whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. The idea there at the end is that you start with those things that you can afford, and then you move up the sacrifices until you pay the most for a bullock. So here in chapter 51 is a perfect plan to remove yourself from your past experiences. You can see how David did it, and he was able to move through his sin and move through until he received the forgiveness. But I didn't want to leave you without some meat, something for you to be able to wear that will allow you to get through a day, get through a night, get through a trial. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? And I notice that my 18-month-old daughter is not able to put clothes on very easy. But now my granddaughter, as she has passed the 2-year mark, she's figured out how to take them off. And she's a little girl, so she's found that in a drawer in her grandmother's office are spare clothes, and that she must put on many outfits during the day. But she didn't learn that right away. She had to experience it. What we're going to talk about is what we need to put on a daily basis as we encounter what the world has to offer. Starting at verse 10, it says, finally, of chapter 6, so it's 6, verse 10. I hope everybody's there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It was interesting, for those of you guys or gals that want to occupy this particular position, it comes with some trials. I was going to school, to work, on Thursday morning, and I have my sunglasses on. As soon as I got on IBC campus, I lifted it up, and all of a sudden, on my left eye, it's different. Something has happened from my car to the picnic tables there at IBC. I've got these little things floating around up in my eye. Well, I had talked to Leah Malinger last Sunday when she was here, and I asked her what her schedule was, so I knew that she was going to be in Calexico on Friday morning, so I get Friday off, so I thought that would be a good day to go down and do it. And of course, you know, here I know I have responsibilities on Sunday. Am I going to be able to read it? But the Lord was just opening up an opportunity for me to praise him, because he wanted to see how I'd react to having a little rock thrown in my path. And so I called and left a message, and they didn't want to call me back. And so I called them again about an hour after the opening. They said, can I come down at that time? And it was like 9:30. Well, I had made plans with Sandy and her mother, and so I couldn't go down there. And so they said, well, just walk in at 2. So when I got there at 1:45, I knew there was going to be some paperwork I need to fill out. And Leah was told that she didn't have to be back until about 2:15 because the next appointment was at 2:15. So, of course, when she walked in the door, I says, that's about time you get back here. And so what I did is I had the full exam. I had the pictures taken, and they put the puff of air, and they did all that. And then I went in to sit down with Leah. Now, I know you guys have heard Mama and Dad talk about Leah. I want to encourage the body of Christ. If you have problems with your eyes, I want you to go see her. She has got the greatest bedside manner. The Lord just kind of oozes out of her pores as she diligently takes a look at you, and she's very, very easy explaining that. She was throwing words at me that I couldn't repeat. She even gave me an acronym for something that was happening in my eye. But she says, Carrie, you're all right. There's not a problem. Your maturity has caused this to happen, and it'll take a few months for whatever happened back there. She was saying something like this and this and this, and I didn't quite understand it. But she said that it would be all right. But I want to encourage you. She's good. And I want to encourage you that if you have checkups coming, and ask PC, this is a freebie. But, you know, sometimes coming from somebody else besides Mom and Dad strikes home. And she really, really wants to see people that she's grown up with. And she told me, she says, I don't get nervous when regular customers come in, but when my friends come in, I get nervous because I want to do the very best that I can. In fact, she says, Carrie, if you don't have any place to go, she wants to dilate my eyes so she could do the final check. And she did that. I had to wait 20 more minutes, but she was just super. And so I want to encourage that. I wanted to do it because it comes from somebody besides the mom and dad or the mother-in-law. And I just want you to think in terms of that. The whole staff was terrific. From the young man, a young lady that I first met with, she did the preliminary stuff, that I met with Leah, and then they had a young man that helped me afterwards. And they did a very, very, very good job. So I want you to consider that. But getting back to my little trial, you've got to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so that's what we deal with daily. It doesn't make it. In fact, this morning as I'm reading, it seems like that little floater now is falling down right in the middle of where I'm reading. But it doesn't matter. If God wants me to go through that trial, He knows the end from the beginning. I know that I'm going to be fine, so I'm going to go on. That's why if I miss a word, you'll know why. Okay, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's what we have to do. We need to stand. Now, how do we do that? Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with the truth. Okay, in order to gird your loins, you have to know what the truth is. And where is the truth? Where is the truth? This is the truth. So you've got to be spending some time in this. You have to spend some time in. And it doesn't matter if it's first thing in the morning or if it's the last thing in the evening or you do it during lunch. Make sure that you are washing your spiritual body with the word on a daily basis. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, we only get that when we acknowledge our sin and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us for all. And then we get that breastplate. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, so we're going to put on our shoes. This time of the year, it's tough to go barefooted because the cement is so hot. But so we put on our shoes. We put on our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the seal of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So if somebody's firing at you and you're getting hit, it means you don't have that shield up, because that's the shield is what defends you from those arrows that come from our enemies. And they can come from anywhere. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Every instrument that we put on, with the exception of one, is defensive. And the offense is that sword, which is the Word of God. And it's the Spirit in us that is responsible for us to understand and use the Word of God. So, now, I gave you the example of my 2-year-old granddaughter. She's getting better at putting on the clothes, and she puts the clothes on better each day, and the more practice, the easier it is. I want to encourage you to memorize these verses and get in your quiet place. Out on your walk, I would do it when I walked. I would go through these verses out loud to the Lord, and I would dress myself with this armor so that I could face the things that I must face. I strongly want to encourage you to dress up on a daily basis. Don't get in a situation where you're overwhelmed by some temptation. If you do, did you prepare for that particular day? You put that on. Now, I want to be cautious, because sometimes the Lord is going to allow us to go through things that will strengthen our relationship with Him and show us where we're at. We do what we can do to protect ourselves, and then we trust the Lord, Romans 8:28. You know, we're confident of this very thing, that those things that happen to us will work for His good and for our best. I encourage you to dress up properly. And then Paul finishes here. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching whereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance, may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want to share with you with a little event that happened this week. Sandy's mother is 94. And she's as feisty now as she was 90 years ago. She's wonderful for keeping my wife's walk with the Lord tight and up to date. Well, on Thursday morning, she had an episode where I actually thought she was going to leave us. She was not feeling well. The last time it happened, I gave her a glycerin tablet. And she immediately responded. When she didn't immediately respond this time, I was concerned. And so I gave her a second one, and it seemed to bring her back. It opens up the veins, the blood flows, and she doesn't have the heart tightening up. Well, I had a chance. The Lord told me to talk to her. And so I said, look it, Mama, who's Jesus? She says to me, Jesus is God. I said, Mama, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Yes. And then she got a twinkle in her eye, and she said to me, I'm going to be all right. It was a fabulous experience. And we're encouraged so often to share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. If you're bashful like I am, I want to encourage you to just let the Lord open the door for you, as we are so encouraged up here. And look for those opportunities to share something, a little something, a seed, water the seed, or if you're able to harvest that soul for Jesus Christ. And then Paul ends this verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak. So if you're in sin, you stumble into sin, Psalm 51 will show you how to remove yourself from that. If you need to shore up for the daily task, then we can go to Ephesians 6, and we can prepare ourselves for the battle that's out there. Let's pray.